You and I live in a world where it is so difficult to know who to trust. Straight-up lies, unkept promises, broken contracts, and shattered vows are happening all around us. Followers of Jesus are called higher. But are we also missing the mark when it comes to keeping our word to God and others? Jeff Lyle is going to take us on a journey from the courts of heaven to the courts on earth, so that we can all grow in our commitments to say what we mean and keep our promises to both God and man. Here's Jeff to help us.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. Hope all is well in your world, and if all is not well in your world, then I trust that as a follower of Jesus, you are leaning into the grace of God. Some days it's just like that. And some days you just wake up and you're like, Lord, the well is empty, the land is dry, the mind is taxed, the body is tired, and I've got zero to offer you, but here I am, and I need your grace. I want to tell you, he doesn't mind when you have days like that or weeks like that. I believe I've gone through some seasons that felt more like months like that, where just literally you just couldn't find anything that you felt was acceptable to offer the Lord because you're looking to your own strengths. Or maybe in my season, I was looking for something anointed to bring the Lord. Do you know that he doesn't mind putting an anointing on something dry? It's actually what changes the dry thing into a vibrant thing is the touch of God on it. And so I've grown in these years never to be reluctant to bring him my dryness, my weariness, my tiredness, my emptiness. I used to feel like, oh man, I got to come with something to give to the Lord so that, I don't know, you know, maybe he'll be happy with me. Those were back in my legalistic days, back in my days of religious confusion. And now I just come to him as a son. And just like if my son or my daughter came to me and just really needed me and had nothing to offer me, I'm not looking for my kids to offer me something. I feel like I'm supposed to be the one who takes care of my children and my granddaughter. And so just if I can do that as a dad and a grandfather, how much more should we expect the Lord to be able to look at us when we got zilch to offer him and him to be able to say still, come on in, child. I've been waiting on you. Thanks for tuning in today. I want to talk to you about a couple things. We took a little time off. You know, holidays for me like are busy with family, but I tend to take a step back from extra ministry duties in between mid-November and the end of the year. And so I'm just in trying to enjoy and wind down the year, spending time with family. But the podcast is crucial. I'm going to be preaching at Antioch Outpost on Sundays during the holiday, doing some meetings and having some stuff, but just not going to do a ton extra. But the podcast is something I feel like you know, God's got his hand on in a special way, and I want to continue to do that during this holiday season. So I hope you'll continue to tune in. I really want to talk to you today about a couple of things. I want to talk to you about how crucial it is that we, we remember in this season that God is a God who always keeps his word. God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. That means when he says he's going to do something, God does it. And we're living in a season right now where there's a whole lot of banter online, in pulpits, especially online right now, about whether or not God has revoked his covenant with the seed of Abraham, with Israel. I don't want to get into the muck of it, but talking about what we call theologically supersessionism or replacement theology, where God's done with Israel, it's all about the church now. And I've been really disturbed in my own spirit by the volume of Christians, people that, you know, I'm connected with, that have just decided because of an erroneous application of some New Testament verses that speak very clearly about the Gentiles being grafted in and the church, therefore, being grafted into the covenants of God. And instead of seeing the and both of church and the seed of Abraham, Israel, they have just discarded. It's not new. Replacement theology is not a new thing, but it is gaining traction among Christians, where the answer is basically that, you know, God's done with Israel. You know, the Abrahamic covenant, no big deal. God's done with it. That was just, ha-ha, Abraham, sorry. I know you thought it was for you and your genetic seed, but it wasn't. It was all about the church. And I'm disturbed because when you start running down a line of theology that is the results in basically in God nullifying a covenant that he says over and over again in the Old Testament that he'll never nullify with Israel. But because of an improper interpretation of some New Testament passages, people are like, yeah, God's done with national Israel. And I get it. You know, we don't want to make it sound like that Israel doesn't have to believe in Jesus or that Jews don't have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Nobody's saying that. Christ is Messiah. You must turn. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. But there is a there is an Abrahamic covenant. There's a Davidic covenant, David, Abraham, that hasn't gone away and will be fulfilled at the end of the age. And it'll be fulfilled not because every single Jew on the planet is going to get born again, you know, at the end of the age, but because there's a remnant of believing Jews that God has always worked through a remnant. Now, why am I talking about this? I really don't want to go deep dive into a theological podcast episode today, but it boils down to a fundamental principle that I'm seeing that not only are people getting wrong about God, but they're failing in their own selves. What am I talking about? I'm talking about keeping your word. Something as mundane, as basic as Christianity 101, as keeping your word, I'm finding a need in these days to remind us as believers, you got to do what you said you'd do. You've got to keep your word. You got to keep your word in your family. You got to keep your word with your marriage vows. You got to keep your word in ministry. You got to keep your word in the marketplace. You got to keep your word in, you know, the local church. You got to keep your word. And I almost feel silly doing a podcast episode on this, but I actually believe that part of what's going on in the earth right now is a stripping away from this very clear principle, a principle in the Word of God about keeping our word that we're accountable for. And it gets easier for us to break our word when we're pretty convinced that God breaks his. And I know none of you that are watching this podcast would ever say, Jeff, we are confident that God breaks his promises. But what you see going on with the nullifying of the Abrahamic covenant, the anti-Semitism that is off the charts rising, it's going to continue to rise all the way to the end of the age, into the tribulation, into the regime of the Antichrist. Jews are going to be persecuted like at no other time in human history. Killed, martyred, crucified, beheaded, all of that stuff, probably going to come through mainly Islam, but it won't be just Islam. But what we're seeing is this growing thing through these false prophets like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and others that are just saying God's done with the Jews. And when you come to that conclusion that God actually isn't obligated to keep his covenant that he made to a man, an individual, God made a promise to a man named Abraham. He made a promise to a man named David. But when we can do theological gymnastics and contort and twist and just come away with the conclusion that God is not going to keep his word to Abraham, it is actually kind of like this mysterious thing, even though Abraham, I don't know what in the world that was. I got my phone going off. But God made this promise to Abraham. But actually, Abraham, it really wasn't about you and your descendants. It's actually about the Gentiles in the church. When you believe that God can change his word like that, when you're convinced that God can say, I didn't really mean what I said, well, then we might feel less obligated to keep our word, right? We might feel like, yeah, I mean, I know I said that, but actually it turned out I'm going to need to mean something different. Okay. At the risk of overstating my case, I want to tell you, I think this is crucial important. How quickly are you able to break your promises? What permission do you give yourself to back off what is true? When do you say, yeah, I said that, but things have changed. I don't need to actually fulfill it. I'm going to tell you when you do that, you're sinning. You're absolutely sinning. And I'm going to give you a lot of Bible today to help us remember how crucial it is that we remember that God expects us to do what we said we're going to do. And there's no latitude in this. And I've got some stories I might try to weave in, but let me give you some Bible, okay? I want to do Bible because me going on and on in my own little thoughts is not overly helpful to you. But my thoughts are framed up by Scripture. And so let me just give you a few things to whet our appetite. The first thing I want to say is that God keeps his word. I don't think I have to make a great case about this, but let me give you a couple of verses. In Psalm 89:34, this is actually God saying to Israel. In Psalm 89:34, he's actually talking about his covenant to Israel through Abraham. So it applies to what I was saying a few minutes ago, but it's also a principle here. God says to Israel, I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went from forth from my lips. Right there in Psalm 89:34, God said to the seed of Abraham, because he promised it to the man Abraham, the covenant I made with you, I will not violate it. I will not nullify it. I will not remove it. I will not violate my covenant, nor will I alter the word that went forth from my lips. So in essence, God is saying in Psalm 89:34, not in essence, in actuality, he's saying, the thing that I told Abraham that it's passed down to the seed of Abraham, I'm not going to go back on it, and I'm not even going to tweak it. In no way will I remove it, in no way will I alter it. That's what God said. By the way, those of you that believe in replacement theology, wrestle with that bad boy a little bit. And just ask yourself, if God had to look Abraham in the eye and said, I know what I told you, but here's what it really meant, your seed gets nothing. Don't you think that that would constitute a lie, especially when God said, I will never nullify it, and I will never alter the word that has come out of my mouth? What about Numbers 23:19? This is a revelation of God's character. And he compares himself to humans who do break their word. God said, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? So it's very important to God that you and I would know that when God says, I'm going to do something, God says, I won't alter it, I won't nullify it, I said it, I'm going to do it, I spoke it, I will fulfill it, okay? I don't think I have to make a hard case with that, but I am just, as I've already mentioned, I'm a little troubled that people would indict the character of God and then say that the God who went out of his way to tell you, I'll never go back on anything I said, people are now saying, yeah, but he didn't mean what he meant to Israel. Maybe a deeper podcast for a different time. So if God keeps his word to man, then I think the next thing I'd like to submit to you is that we are to keep our word to God. So let me read to you a little bit more. In Numbers chapter 30, verse number 2, this is what we are exhorted to do. It says, if a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Okay, very clear there. If we make a vow in the name of the Lord, if we say we're going to do something to the Lord, God says you are obligated to do it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, strengthen it. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay in paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Okay, it's very clear, guys. What about Deuteronomy 23:23? You shall be careful to do what has passed from your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God, and what you have promised, you will do what you have promised from your mouth or with your mouth. So again, God keeps his word to us, and God says, you will keep your word to me. I'm all about grace. I'm all about mercy. I'm all about compassion. But when you start taking mercy, grace, and compassion and using it as an excuse for you being negligent, deceptive, or in any way disobedient to what you told God you would do, you're misusing grace, mercy, and compassion. You're actually using these lighter parts of God's character in order to endorse your disobedience. Some of us have made vows to God, and you may have thought, I've let that slip. It's gone. That was years ago. God's not let it slip. You're actually obligated to do what you told the Lord that you would do. And then in James, let's get some New Testament, because I know I'm giving you a bunch of Old Testament, but that's where primarily these things are addressed. You've got James chapter number 5, and the Apostle James wrote in verse number 12, but above all, brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and let your no be no, so that you do not fall under any condemnation. Okay, that's a biggie. What we have there is this clear principle in the Word of God that when I, as a follower of Jesus Christ, say that I'm going to do something and I say, yes, I will do it, James 5:12 says, do it. Don't back off it. Don't repackage it. Don't try to get out from it. You've got to do what you said you would do, especially when you're talking to God. You're saying, God, this is who I'm going to be. God, this is what I'm going to do. You know, how many times did we used to sing back in the day, the old day when the earth's crust was cooling, we used to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. How many times did we sing that and it turned out to be a lie for people because they turned back, that they stopped following Jesus, that they literally pulled back? And I just think, man, that like, I am intentionally being tight with this because everywhere I go, I see people being way too loose with this. Like when you told God you were in it for the long haul and then you slipped away, or you started chasing things of the world, or you started compromising your integrity and you started getting slack in your commitments, it's not like God says, that's okay. No biggie. No, God holds you as a son or a daughter to this wonderful thing of like keeping your word. You're supposed to keep your word to him and to one another. So let's go there. Let's talk about this. All right. We keep our word to God. God keeps his word to us. Pretty easy, right? There's a third part. We must keep our word to each other. God takes that seriously. God is no less concerned with you keeping your word to somebody else than he is that you keep your word to him. And we've got a lot of things going on in the kingdom right now where people are forgetting that they made commitments to each other. Let me give you a little testimony. There was a time in my ministry where God was moving very powerfully. There was like major regional momentum. It had the potential in this particular thing. I'm not going to go into details, but I'll give you the headline. It had potential to go way beyond regional and into national. And I did some partnership in ministry with some people, and in particular one man. And as we began to say yes to each other, we both were willing to pay the price. We were both willing to sacrifice. We were having to lay stuff down. We were having to walk by faith at a level that maybe neither of us had ever walked in, or it had been a long time. And it was a move of God that we were saying yes to, and we had to partner in this thing. And it required both of us to recalibrate how we had done ministry and life and everything. And during the duration of this, there were commitments made. I said, I'll do this. He said, I'll do this. The others would say, I'd do this. And we all just came to agreement. It was going along swimmingly. Until one day I started noticing, there's some things falling through the cracks. Actually, some things that we said we would do along the way, not everybody's doing what they said they would do. And then I started realizing, actually, to my ministerial horror, that this thing was going in a completely different direction than we all said we were going to do. Can I tell you that the end result of it is that it absolutely fell apart? I kept my word. Maybe how we did it wasn't perfect, but what I said I was going to do, I did, but the other individual did not. And the whole thing fell apart. It affected scores and scores and scores of people. And it deeply impacted me because I expected that when somebody says they're going to do something and I commit to that and they give their word and I give my word, that everybody's going to keep their word. Well, it didn't work out that way. Now, I've seen it in ministry. I've seen it so many times in marriages, Christian marriages that implode because the vows, they are vows. When we make our vows to each other, but we actually make our vows, if your wedding is done appropriately, you're making your vows individually, husband and wife, in the presence and to God. And you and I know that half of the time, statistically, that those vows are broken because it just gets too hard. So there aren't vows at all. They're good intentions. They're strong intentions. And, you know, if we wanted to be honest, maybe in our weddings, we quit calling them vows and we just say, would you like to declare your best intentions? Because when you go back on a vow, that is a very intense thing. Now, can it be covered in the blood? Can it be washed away? Can it be forgiven? Sure. But people take it so lightly. Every single marriage that is in the Lord and is elongated and goes for, you know, sometimes, it's going to be tested. The vows will be tested. It's going to get hard. It's going to get brutal. It's going to get difficult. Your selfishness is going to get provoked. You're going to get angry. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to get hurt. I mean, it happens in almost every marriage. In half of those marriages, somebody just looks at the other one, or both of them look at each other and say, we're done. And the vow means nothing. It happens in business. It happens in ministry. People make business. I can't tell you how many Christian businessmen and women I've counseled who went into a business deal with somebody, and the person said, we're going to do this, and the other person said, we're going to do this, and it ends up things like just breaking of contracts, nullifying, stealing, embezzling, all this stuff. Business deals fall through among Christians because somebody decides they can't keep their word. If you're a business person and you give your word, whether it's a written contract or a handshake, you're obligated by God as a Christian to follow through in that. And sometimes it's going to cost you in order to keep your word. We're talking about integrity here. We're talking about, like, if you break your word, you have no integrity. You're not credible. You shouldn't expect that people would want to continue to do business with you or to do ministry with you. Or if you have a habit of cheating on your spouse, and is it any wonder they don't trust you? Or you break your word to your spouse, you say you're going to do this. Is it any wonder how distrust gets into marriages like that? Of course, it's not any wonder. This stuff happens all the time. So what about this? What about keeping our word to each other? Because nobody's going to argue with me that we need to keep our word to God. Of course, we need to keep our word to God. Nobody's going to argue that God keeps his word to us, unless, of course, you're failing right now in this whole thing with the covenants and stuff. But we know that God doesn't lie. We at least say that we know that. But what about keeping our word to each other? Let me give you some Bible. Would you like some Bible? Good. All right, here we go. How about Psalm 15:4? It picks up in the middle of a psalm, but let me give you the verse. In Psalm 15:4, it says, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. Now watch this. In Psalm 15:4, it says something that I think is crucial. It talks about a person who swears or vows, swears to his own hurt and does not change. Did you catch that? Swears to his own hurt and does not change. That means when you made a vow, you made a promise, you said you're going to do something, and you found out in order to keep your word, it cost you something, it cuts you, it hurts you, and you want to get out of it, and you can make yourself get out of it, and you see a door to exit, but you know, I said I would do this, it's going to cost me, but I am going to do it. That's what we call integrity. That's what we call honor. That's what we call being a Christian. You don't get to get out of it when you say, oh, I didn't know it was going to cost me so much. Ow, I said I would do it, but man, I don't know about it now. This is happening at an epidemic rate. Why? Because we don't live in a culture anymore, even in the church, where we actually value honor, integrity, honesty, and follow through. Because we live in a day of loopholes. We live in a day of selfishness. We live in a day where, like, my interests are like, hey, that's the most important thing to me. I know I said I'd do something, but that's going to cost me. I didn't know it was going to cost me, so I'm going to back out of what I said. Well, if I were to do that, that makes me a liar. On some level, it makes me a liar. Excuse me. Even though when I initially gave that commitment, made that promise, entered that vow, even though then I wasn't lying, fully intended to do it. But if I extract myself from it when there's a price tag attached to it, I become a liar. I have no credibility. And nobody who knows what I've just done should have a high level of trust in me, because I've proven that I will back out of my word if I feel like it's in my best interest to do so. It's happening all over the place, friends. What about Matthew 5:37? I like what the Son of God said. He makes it so simple. Jesus said, let what you say be simply yes or no. Nothing more than this comes from the evil one. So what Jesus is saying is when you say yes, live yes. If you don't think you can say yes and keep it, say no. And anything beyond that is going to have some avenue of the evil one, the enemy, our flesh, something coming in and undermining our commitment. Listen, keep it simple. Say yes. When you enter an agreement, say yes. When you make a promise, say yes. When you give a pledge, say yes. When you exchange a vow, say yes. When you sign a contract, say yes. And if you don't think you can follow through, then don't do it. That's what we read earlier. It's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. 1 John 2:5, Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. That's huge. 1 John 2:5 is huge. Let me reverse engineer it. By this we may know that we are in Christ. What, Jeff? By what may we know that we're in Christ? Well, that we keep our word. That's what 1 John 2:5 says. 1 John 2:5 says, a characteristic of someone who's in Christ is that they will always keep their word. And so when we are wrestling with whether or not to keep that word that's going to cost us something, to stay in that marriage that may, I'm not talking about physical violence, I'm not talking about being beaten and staying in your marriage, you need to protect yourself for safety, but I'm talking about when it's difficult, you're not getting your way, you're fatigued, you're brokenhearted, you're sick and tired of not getting what you wanted out of this marriage, and you just decide, I am going to go back on my vow because it's too hard. That's an indicator of somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Now, I'm not saying everybody gets divorced doesn't know the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, why would you want to act that way? Why would you want to act like somebody that doesn't know Jesus, that can't trust Jesus? And I've already mentioned, marriage is hard. Amy and I have a good marriage, but we have had some incredibly difficult years, incredibly difficult. And there have been times, I guarantee you, that she's probably thought, I don't know if I can do this anymore. There have been moments where I've wondered, are we going to be able to do this? You know, you see us out and about doing ministry and stuff. They're like, they got the perfect marriage. Well, our marriage has never been perfect, but our marriage has been committed. Our marriage has weathered the storms. Our marriage has looked each other in the eye in the most difficult of moments and said, we've got to have Jesus strengthen these vows right now because we're being pulled away from our yes. And Jesus said, you've got to let your yes be yes. John wrote in 1 John 2:5, he said, one of the characteristics of a believer is that we do what we said we would do. Colossians 3:9, do not lie one to another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices. To break your word, to not follow through, to go back on what you said you would do, is to exemplify that you're still in some level of agreement with the old self that supposedly you died to when you got saved. And we just give ourselves permission. We do it in a blink of an eye. We try, we're enduring, and then one day we're like, I don't want to endure anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. This has gotten too hard. I'm going to pivot. I'm going to draw an end. I'm going to make a new start. I'm going to go in a different direction. And Paul would tell us, the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3:9, he's like, you're actually violating a principle. You're acting like you would have acted if you were still your old self, your lost self, your unregenerate self. And then we've got, let me give you a proverb here. You've got Proverbs 25:14. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift that he does not give. Ow. The picture here is an individual who makes a promise. I'm going to give something. I'm going to invest something. I'm going to offer something. I have made a pledge. And it seems to be in the context of a material or a financial pledge. And then at some point, he said he was going to do it. Apparently, he made a bit of a show of it. It's like, no, I got you. I'm going to come through on this. And then the gift he swore he'd give, which the other person is counting on, is never given. And the writer of Proverbs here says, yeah, that's like when you need rain for the crops and you see the clouds blowing in and the wind blowing, but never does the precipitation come to water the crops. That's what that guy's like. So in other words, these clouds are making a promise of rain, and that rain's going to water the crops and the crops are going to provide a harvest. You got to have the rain to have the harvest. And so when that cloud and that it looks like here comes the rain, and it just passes on by, the cloud just passes on by, no rain. And that disappointment that the farmer would have, like, man, we needed that rain. That's what it's talking about here. It's like the individual says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to come through. I got you. You can count on me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to resource this. I'm going to fund this thing. I'm going to come alongside of you. And then they never come through. And so these are all very intense things. Let me wrap up with one New Testament verse in Ephesians 4:25. And I want you to get the strength of this, guys. This is so important. The reason why I'm layering you with the Bible is because I got to combat whatever that is in our flesh that just gives ourselves a free pass on things like this. So Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let every one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we have two jobs there. We put away falsehood. When we are tempted to not do what we said we're going to do, when we're tempted to commit to something that maybe we're committing at a level 10, but we're thinking I might come through at a level 2, you're lying. Because you're setting things in motion with your yes that maybe other people are counting on. They're saying yes to it too. I go back to that thing I described earlier with that ministry partnership I had with this guy. We both said yes. He pulled his yes back, or he actually altered the way he said yes, reframed the whole thing, and it cost us. And then I'm seeing this a lot in the business world. I'm seeing it a lot. Man, I know a guy, oh my goodness, this dude, and you don't know him, so please don't put your mind, I'm not like gossiping here. You would never know this guy. But this guy like is like high level in the corporate world, high level. And I knew many of his employees. And his employees over years, I would hear these things. They're just coming to me as a friend, a pastor, a brother. I happen to know a lot of the employees. And they would say, yeah, he actually doesn't do what he says he's going to do. Yeah, we said we were going to do this. We did this. We made great sacrifice to join in you know, his company and his endeavors. And he just never follows through. And they would quit. Huge attrition rate in the company. And I'm thinking to myself, and guy's a believer. And these people would come to me, how could a Christian do that? How can a Christian go so easily back on his word? And I'm thinking, I don't know, because I don't do that. If I swear to my own hurt, I'm still going to pay it. So I've loaded your wagon today, and I'm going to boil it down to this. Can I just make it about you for a minute? Can I ask you, how are you doing in this area? How are you keeping your word? How are you following through? Do you find yourself inching back, pulling back, drawing back, reframing, rethinking? People have this wonderful ability to recreate cleverly what they actually said they were going to do. You know, they actually trick themselves, deceive themselves, and come up with a new narrative in their mind saying, well, I know those are the words I said, but that's actually not what I meant, and I didn't mean it at this level. Too bad, too late, you're in trouble. Because God doesn't take this stuff lightly. And I will tell you that he fully expects me to do what I said I was going to do. I have made commitments in ministry. I have made commitments. I serve a local church right now called Antioch Outpost. I'm coming up on 5 years. I've been one of the hardest ministries, especially right in the middle of those 5 years. Extremely difficult. Had all sorts of opportunities to off-ramp. Had off internal opportunities say, this is just not what I signed up for. It's, by the way, it's great now. So please don't read this in the present tense. We're going back 3 years. And like it got bloody. It got hot. It got heated. It was the devil. It was the flesh. It was my own flesh. I mean, it was everything you wouldn't want to have happen in a local church ministry. And at that same time where it was just blowing up on me, and I'm feeling this desire to escape what I said I would do because it was costing me. Then I have these options, these people, these opportunities, these open doors in different places to off-ramp from what I said I was going to do. And quite frankly, in the material realm, it would have been, quote unquote, on paper, a better opportunity. And I remember just like, it was very short, but I was just feeling this. Maybe, and I'm talking to myself, maybe this is God saying I'm done here. Maybe this, all this difficulty, all this hardship, all this. And God would just keep taking me back. And he said, what did you tell those people you would do when you said yes? You told them that you would stay there and you would serve, that you would love, that you would pay the price, and you would not leave until I told you, Jeff, that it was time to leave. And the Lord would reinforce me, and it was very short. It wasn't even like days. It was probably like a day where I'm really feeling the pressure of, man, do I need to get out of here? This is killing me. And the Lord said, I'm not telling you you can go. And I said, then I'm not going. I'm going to keep my word to God. I mean, this doesn't make me a hero. The reason why I'm telling you this is because I get it. I get how difficult it can be to keep your word, to do what you said you're going to do. But I did. I'm really glad I did now because now it's great. And yeah, it cost me. It cost me and Amy. It cost, you know, it cost us time. It cost us energy. It cost us a lot. And now that that war is over, I show up every week and I'm like, this is something so worthy of everything we can invest. Thank you, Lord, for not letting me break my covenant, my vow to you and to these precious people at Antioch Outpost. And please, if you're part of AO, and many of you guys watch or listen to the podcast, I want you to know, I'm just testifying about 2022. And many of you were there. I'm not saying anything negative now. I stayed, and I'm really glad I did. And I'm glad you're there too, because a lot of you could have left. So whether it's church, whether it's marriage, whether it's business, whether it's your personal walk with God, keep your word. Thanks for giving me a little bit of your time today on the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. If you're listening on our audio stream, go and visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just look for the Mavericks and Misfits podcast on YouTube. If you are watching on YouTube, could you do me a favor? Could you subscribe to that? Could you like it? Could you give us a review? Could you share it? I want people to be able to benefit from what God is giving me that I get to give you. Also, if you've never got a copy of my book, Figuring It Out As I Go, I wrote that book 5 years ago while I was battling cancer. And actually, I published it right after I started battling cancer, but I wrote it in the year before. And Figuring Out As I Go is basically an autobiography of how I went from an abandoned, orphan-spirited little kid all the way through drugs, alcohol, rebellion, all the crazy stuff that I did between 1984 and 1994. Then had this radical encounter with Jesus where I got saved and delivered all in one day. And then I give you a journey about my faith journey and tragedy that hit our family, Amy's wreck, her mom dying in that wreck, how it impacted our family, religious wars, and then how I went from a fundamentalist Baptist and entered the world of the gifts of the Spirit and what all that entailed. I think it's a very beneficial book. I had a great time writing it, and a lot of people have been helped by it. So if you want to pick up a copy of Figuring Out As I Go, buy it wherever you buy books. I think it'll enrich you. Time is gone. Went a little bit longer today. Thanks for giving me a little bit of your time. We'll talk to you next time on the Mavericks and Misfits podcast.
Thanks for taking time to listen today. If you are being helped by the Mavericks and Misfits podcast, please rate and review the podcast wherever you are listening. For those watching on YouTube, please make sure to hit the subscribe button. We will talk to you in a week on the next episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast.